and use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh. Oh, Holy Spirit, carry me to deep, deep places. Carry me on wings of eagles, carry me to the place of prayer, carry me Holy Spirit, carry me. Ezekiel 43 verse 5. Holy Spirit, carry me. You see where that statement is used. To realms of power, carry. So the Spirit took me up. Another version says, carried me and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Somebody needs to go deeper. And he's the one who takes us to new realms in God. I'm tired of struggling, carry me, oh. I'm tired of crawling, carry me, oh. Spirit of God, we welcome you. God. Spirit of life, we welcome you. Spirit of Christ, we welcome you.
Almighty God, we welcome you.
Come like the rain, we welcome you. If you open your heart this morning, while I was praying, I was in the shower. While I was praying in the shower, as the shower was hitting me and coming forcefully, I turned it into a prayer. I said, Lord, this morning as we speak about you, can you come upon your people? Can you bend upon your people? Even as we're singing, even as I teach and speak, you will see he's raining on someone. People will begin to speak with new tongues. Out of your belly will flow. He's here. Is the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of God, Spirit of grace and supplication. First Corinthians 2:9-11. We will read in concert. Standing, can you stand as we honor the reading of God's word? You read out loud. Yesterday we came here and we read the word of God for almost an hour, just reading. The Bible talks about the washing of the water of the word. So, from time to time, read the word out loud to yourself. Let's read. One, two, go. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Amen. Let's go to John 14 quickly. Let's go to John 14 quickly. Our sister, Pastor Yemi, did a good job. just teaching us and, you know, listing those very important points. John 14 from verse 16. One to go. And take note of the pronouns, okay? As she said, one to go. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Continue. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. Say with you. And he shall be where? In you. Say with you. And in you. Say with you. And in you. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth. Sorry, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Continue. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall. Okay, let's stop. The Lord bless the reading of the word into our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Just to remind us, we declared that this year we want to gain our roots down in God. We want to be founded. We want to be stable. We want to be immovable. All right. We spoke on the deep, on being deeply rooted last week. So you can visit our YouTube page to just hear that if you were not in church. And one of our key scriptures for this year, as a local church, of course, as a member of our parent church, the RCCG, our father in the Lord, Pastor E. Adeboye, you know, gave a prophetic word about the wind of God, you know, blowing, you know. And many times, as you would see from scripture, that the Holy Spirit is compared to a wind. He's not a wind, all right? But he demonstrates attributes that could be likened to a wind. And the way God is, God normally would give us natural examples to better understand him. Amen. And we said that as the wind blows, and you know, it's not just a pleasant wind. The wind of adversity and the wind of, you know, persecution and all of those, that you had better be what? Founded, deeply rooted. Amen. So, but today we want to share that the one who knows the route or the way to the deep place of God is the Holy Spirit. He's our guide. He leads us. The Bible says, they that are led by the Spirit of the Lord, they are the sons of God. Romans 8, 14. So I'm just going to put that 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, you know. 1 Corinthians, he says, well, as it is written, I have not seen nor hear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Verse 10 says, but God has revealed them unto us. How? By the Spirit. So it is the Holy Spirit that would give us the intelligence, would give us the lead to what God has prepared for you and I. So it becomes very imperative that we delve into knowing him more, knowing how he works, knowing his ministry, knowing his purpose in our lives, knowing his dealings, amen, so that we can better relate with him. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? We have touched on it a little bit. He's the third person of the Trinity. Amen. And yesterday, while in the workers' meeting, Pastor Owai did such an incredible job with, you know, reminding us of the concept of the triune God, the Trinity. Okay, the Trinity is not three gods. The Trinity is one God expressed in three personalities, and every one of them, you know, being equal, you know. And but But the thing about the Trinity is that they differ to each other. All right. So Jesus will say, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will glorify me. And Jesus will say, well, if you say this against me, if you insult me, no problem. But if you do this against the Holy Spirit, you will never be forgiven. Amen. So you find that difference in the Trinity where they honor each other. But, you know, that is, it's one God expressed in three personalities. Amen. Say one God in three distinct personalities. And then Pastor Owai gave us the example of the egg, all right? The egg has the outer shell and has the white compartment and has the yolk. That's three in one. That's not three eggs. Amen. So, but I mean, as she shared, that's a revelation she picked up from someone, all right? And we see, God display this tripartite principle even in our natural life. The Bible says that man is spirit, soul, and body, three-dimensional. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you what? Holy. And I pray God your what? Whole spirit. Say spirit. And soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus. So we see there that man is a spirit, man has a soul, and man lives in a body. Amen. See, I'm a spirit. In fact, yesterday while we're reading, go to the last verse of Colossians 4. Go to the last verse of Colossians 4. You see where Paul ended his greeting by saying, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. You see, is that the last verse? Was that verse? Is that the last verse? Maybe of verse 3? Okay, go to the NLT. Go to NLT. Is that? Or just find me that scripture, maybe. Okay, let me get it. I wrote it down. So, say, I'm spirit. Say, I am a spirit. Say it. I have a soul. And I live in a body. Say, my real me is the spirit. Guys, if you find that scripture, let me know. I wrote it down yesterday. Very lovely scripture. It says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Somebody get it for me. If not, I'll move on. But unfortunately, many of us spend time... Sorry? Philippians 4:12, good. Philippians 4:12, let's get it. 4:23, Philippians 4:23. Philippians 4:23, just to reinforce the point that the Holy Spirit, our spirit is our real us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with what? Your spirit. You see, when God communes with us, God communes with our spirit. When you hear from God, God speaks to your spirit. Amen. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Amen. All right. So the Holy Spirit lives in us. He says our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So there's the Holy Spirit and there's the human spirit. See, there's the Holy Spirit and there's the human spirit. The Bible says in Proverbs 20:27 that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord and searches the inward parts of the belly. So when God wants to speak to you, the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you witness to your human spirit, sometimes called the inward man, okay, the inner witness, okay, the inner man, the inward man. Amen. We're going somewhere. As I speak this morning, there will be impartations. Amen. People will grow from something told me to cross to someone told me to wait to cross. Amen. Because he's a person. He's a definite entity. Hallelujah. Let's look at the concept of a person. The dictionary says that a person is a being who has certain capacities and attributes. such as reason, morality, consciousness, or self-consciousness. Amen. So the dictionary says, a person is someone who has certain capacities or attributes, such as reason, morality, consciousness, or self-consciousness. And the Holy Spirit is a person. Say, the Holy Spirit is a person. We're still talking about who is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. Say, the Holy Spirit is a person. It's not an it. Now, you can write this down. What are some of the attributes that he expresses? Number one, he speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks. 1 Timothy 4:1. Paul speaking says that the Spirit speaketh expressly. The Spirit speaketh expressly. Hallelujah. So that is an example that the Holy Spirit speaks. Another scripture, Acts 13 verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord, another version says, as they worshiped the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, you see, very distinct, not Jesus said, not God said, the Holy Ghost said. Say, the Holy Spirit speaks. Hallelujah. You see, because when a person speaks, so that's, you know, the Holy Spirit bearing the attribute of a person. Though not a natural physical person, the Holy Spirit is a personality. Amen. Number two, he thinks. He has a mind. Romans 8:27. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is what? No, I want you to read it together so it's not me saying it. Knoweth what is the what? The mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. He is, you know, he has a mind. He's a spirit of intelligence. Job 32:8. There is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. The Amplified says, but there is a spirit in man, the spirit of intelligence. Amen. Amen. You see, of intelligence. So he has a mind. Number three, the Holy Spirit loves. In other words, he has emotions. He loves. The Holy Spirit loves. Hallelujah. Romans 15:30. I want you to listen and write. Okay, it's the year of depth. You know, we're going to teach a lot, you know, and when it's time to prophesy and pray, we'll do that. But there's going to be a lot of knowledge this year. Now, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for what? For what? The love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. All right. And Romans 5:5 also says that the Holy Spirit sheds abroad in our hearts the love of God. We cannot love the way God loves except by the Spirit. Husband, hagapao your wives as Christ loves the church. Now, that's hard enough. Husband, love your wife is hard. But how? As Christ loves his church or his wife and gave himself. That's the standard that God expects from us. Humanly speaking, that's not possible. But only by the Spirit. Amen. So by the Spirit. You heard the song we shared today? By the Spirit. Hallelujah. Not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit. Amen. So he loves. He's a lover. Now, when you understand this attribute, it would help you to relate with him. Amen. You can love up on him. Amen. Number four, he can be grieved. He can be grieved because, like I said, he has emotions. We know that popular scripture, Ephesians 4:30, grieve not, grieve not. And as I looked, that word, you know, in its root meaning, it says it is to distress. That word in the Greek is to distress. Don't stress him. Don't stress the Holy Spirit. Tell somebody, don't stress the Holy Spirit. It also means to be sad. It means to be in heaviness. We know this because Jesus, who was also a comforter, remember, Jesus said, I'll send you another comforter. In other words, I'll send you someone like me. Amen. So when you look at Jesus, you can also understand the person of the Holy Spirit, because there was a time Jesus was very distressed. Remember, the Bible says he was, in fact, there was a version that says he was deeply sorrowful. You know, when he wanted to go to the cross, and he said, if it's possible, let this cup pass, you know, from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I think it's Matthew 24, 30 something. If you just look at it, the Bible says he was in agony. So the Holy Spirit can be distressed, can be sad. And that's what you feel sometimes when you go out of line or sin or you tell a lie. That heaviness you feel, that's if your heart is not seared though. You know, there's a way you sin and sin and sin and you lose consciousness. The Bible says your heart becomes seared with a hot iron. And that's the thing about sinning, habitual sinning. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgive you. No problem, he'll forgive you. But you get to a point where you don't have it. Your sensitivity just dies. You tell blatant lies and you're not sensing it. But when you are so close with the Holy Spirit, and like I always say, proximity determines sensitivity. At the slightest displeasure, you sense almost a disconnect. Hallelujah. And I'm going to share some examples as we go. He says, to be sorrowful. Don't make him sorrowful. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, what was the context of that statement? Let's go to Ephesians 4:30 and read a few of the verses prior to that. And you see some of the things that grieve him. Grieve him. Grieve him. And I'll tell you why he's easily grieved. It's because of his nature. Let's go from verse 24. Everybody, very good read from verse 24. Hallelujah. One to go. Let's read. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created. And that's your spirit man that I just spoke about. That's your spirit man, the regenerated man. Amen. The real you. Okay. Verse 26. Be ye 25. I beg your pardon. Wherefore, putting away what? Lying. You see? Speaking every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members of another. Be ye angry, what? And sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. 27. Neither give place to the devil. Continue. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needed. 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And what? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed. Amen. Meanwhile, before I forget, that seal there is down payment. Down payment. So in other words, when you and I were purchased by the blood of Jesus, Jesus gave the Holy Spirit as a seal. Like, don't touch this. This belongs to me. Hallelujah. You are sealed. That word seal is to be confirmed. Is that, take this off the shell. This is no longer for sale. That's what the Holy Spirit is to you. Is to you and I a seal, a confirmation. This confirmed, saved. Delivered, signed, sealed, and delivered. Somebody bless the name of the Lord. Celebrate Our Father, amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. So you see the context with which the Bible says that the Holy Spirit should not be grieved. So in other words, all of those things, lying, you know, corrupt communication, stealing, and the works of the flesh are the things that what grieve the Holy Spirit. Tell somebody, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Let's welcome our pastor. I know he said he wanted to pass by. Maybe I would allow him just speak. I don't know how much time he has. Okay. All right. So I think he would just go on and then he'll release the Father's blessing. So if you are here, you are blessed. Tell somebody you are blessed. Amen. So the Bible says that he can be grieved. And all of the things I read out are the things plus the works of the flesh that grieve him. And you will see shortly why he's easily grieved, because of his nature. Amen. Another example is he can be quenched. He can be quenched. That quenched means he can be silenced. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. He can be silenced. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. What does it mean to quench the Holy Spirit? To stifle his work. You know, many times people say, Holy Spirit, have your way, move unhindered in this place. But then the traditions of men set in. And, you know, we don't acknowledge him. We don't recognize him. He speaks and we don't listen. And every time he speaks and you don't listen, he's trying to get across to us. We don't listen. We stifle him. We quench him. Amen. And the Bible says, quench not the Spirit. In other words, don't silence him. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the Spirit. Tell somebody, quench not the Spirit. Amen. You know, I mean, it's interesting that the same title the Holy Spirit has is what our wives have. The wife is what? A helper. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is the helper. And one of the ways that women respond when they are hurt, they keep silent. You say, what is the problem? Nothing. Do we agree? So they just shut down. They withdraw. And you're like, honey, what did I do? Nothing. And if you are wise, you know that you've done something. And that's the way the Holy Spirit is. When you find that he's withdrawn, you've quenched him. You know, sometimes because you are not recognizing him, you've not given him attention. He's been trying to get across to you, but you become busy. Then you quench his activity. We quench him in church sometimes. He wants to move. He wants to speak. But our traditions get in the way. Our programs get in the way. And we quench him. In this house, we will not quench him. Another reason why he's a person is because of the pronouns that qualify him. We've read from John 14:16. He says, when he comes, when he comes. The Bible is clear. He's not an it. He's a he. Say he's a he. Another reason why he's a person, why we can tell that he's a person, is that he has a will. Say he has a will. He makes decisions. He has a choice. Amen. He has his preference for the things that concern you. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. Let's read that. It's a good read. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. Quickly. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Verse 8. For to one is given what? The Spirit of the word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirit. To another diverse kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. But all this worketh that one and the same self-spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. So the Holy Spirit apportions the gifts of the Spirit and the you know, the workings and expressions of the Spirit in our life as He wills. Yes, He gives us sometimes, you know, the Bible says, covet earnestly the best gift. But ultimately, the decision rests on Him. He decides what gift you have. Amen. So He has a will. Say, He has a will. Now, let's look very quickly at some misconceptions of the Holy Spirit. What He is not. Amen. Hallelujah. He's likened to a dove. But He is not a dove. He is not a dove. You know, God expresses Himself in those ways so that we can better understand Him. Matthew 3:26. And saying, 26, please. Matthew 3:26. Okay, let me read my Bible. Somebody get a microphone to read for me quickly when you have it. Okay, it's not. Matthew 3:16, I beg your pardon. And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straight away out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him. And He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon Him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, remember, I was trying to explain why He's easily, you know, offended. It's because of His nature as a dove. Bill Johnson helped us with the revelation and said, imagine a dove was on your shoulder, on your left side, and you had to walk. How would you walk? Gently. Because you have what? A dove. The slightest action will disturb Him. Do you understand? That's why, you see, if you are a Christian and you are close to the Holy Spirit, when you tell even a tiny lie, you feel His displeasure. Now, if you get to a place where you are lying blatantly and you are not feeling it, run to the altar. Just say, Lord, help me. Do you understand? Let's take a lie, for instance. I've always said this. Do you know that sometimes you don't have to say something to tell a lie? Sometimes your silence can imply a lie. So a lie is not just what you said, it's what you made somebody believe. So they said to you, did you supply the cement? And then you don't say anything. And the person, based on your silence, believes that you supplied the cement. Now, if you have the Holy Spirit, and you have close proximity with Him, you will feel His displeasure. Suddenly you are calling the person back again. Actually, sir, actually not on my way. Because if you don't have a walk with God, you'll be technical with Him. Where are you? I'm on my way. You are in your house about to leave the door. You can argue that technically you are on your way. Now, when you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you are not technical. He will tell you that's a lie. And when you call the other person on the other side to say, I call back to say I'm not on my way, He will know who is dealing with you. Yeah, that's the comforter. That's the comforter. That's the comforter. See, that's the comforter. Because He's a dove. He's a dove. Hallelujah. He's like, no, not He's a dove. He's like a dove. He's like a dove. He's likened to a dove. Now, He's like fire, but not fire. Acts 2:3. The Bible says that cloven tongues as of fire came. That's an expression of the Holy Spirit. You know, when He comes like fire, like we just had in worship, we're singing. Sometimes people, you know, manifest because you can literally feel the essence, His power on you sometimes, and your physical body can't take it. It can come like fire and you are busting out in tongues. But He's not fire. He's likened unto fire. Hallelujah. Acts 2:3. He's likened unto the wind. He's likened unto the wind. This year we've been talking about the wind of the Spirit. He's that strong east wind that blew over the Red Sea and parted it. Alright, He's that strong east wind. Amen. Amen. John 3:8 says that the wind bloweth where it listeth. So is everyone that is led what? By the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's like a wind, but he's not the wind. He has attributes like the wind. And what does he mean to be like the wind? He can come and just, you know, scatter and rearrange things. When he comes like a wind, he can scatter things in your life like a whirlwind. He can come, you know, you have your life together, you know, like he came to us at the beginning of the year, you know, just having a good service, you know, other location, and we just felt it's time to move. And all of a sudden, people were being blown away. This one's traveling, this one. And it was like something's happening. That was the operation of the wind of the Spirit. Hallelujah. He can scatter things and also arrange things. And this here, that the Jew has said, the wind will blow. May he blow in your favor. He's like a river, but it's not a river. He's like a river. John 7:37. He that believeth on me, out of what is inner being, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living waters. Now, here's the key, verse 39. But this spake he of what? The Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not glorified. So, he's like a river, but he's not a river. By river means that he moves. You know, an attribute of a river is that it moves. A river that ceases to move becomes stagnant and dries up, becomes stale. The move of the Spirit is a major attribute of the Spirit. He's always moving. In fact, the first mention of the Holy Spirit in Scripture is that he moved. Genesis 1:2. There was darkness upon the face of the deep. And what happened? The Holy Spirit did what? Moved. He hovered. He fluttered. That's what that word means. He fluttered. He brooded upon the face of the deep. That brooding there is like, you know, sitting on top of an egg to hatch it to produce chicks. So sometimes when you're about to birth a new thing, you feel the brooding of the Holy Spirit. You feel like, you know, there's something unsettling. He's fluttering over you. Hallelujah. Because when he comes upon you, you're about to birth something. The Bible says that the power of God came and overshadowed what? Mary. Luke 1. And what was the result? He birthed Jesus. And who is Jesus? The Word. So sometimes when you're about to birth a word, you sense this moving of the Spirit upon you in prayer. Do you understand what I'm saying? When the Holy Spirit broods upon you, it must produce a word. It must produce a word. Hallelujah. Look at the New Testament. Every time you see them, when they were filled, as they were filled, then they speak the word. As they were filled, they speak the word. So when you are praying in the Spirit, notice, when you are praying in tongues and praying in the Spirit, look out for a word that pops up in your spirit. That's the brooding of the Holy Spirit. He's sitting upon you. He's fluttering over you. Hallelujah. Say, Holy Spirit, move upon me. Yes, when you are stuck sometimes at work, stuck, you're looking, begin to speak in tongues. And then he'll begin to brood upon you. And all of a sudden, that's why it's good to read the word, to get the word in your system. And suddenly a word that you didn't think about just pops up. Hallelujah. Very quickly, the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Why was he? Why? Jesus said when he comes, he will do what? Glorify me. John 16:13-14. His job is to glorify Jesus. Is to glorify Jesus. You know, one of the ways I know the Holy Spirit is not really at work in someone's life is to the extent that they talk about themselves. You know, ministers, people, when you find yourself, you know, in a negative light, projecting yourself, the work of the Holy Spirit in you is very little. Because if it's in you and he's moving and working in you, he seeks to glorify Jesus. he seeks to glorify Jesus. In a church, if you want to tell a church where the Holy Spirit is having free sway, check if a man is at work in that place. If a man is glorified, we measure his work in our lives to the extent that Jesus is glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He came to glorify Jesus. He would not do any other thing but glorify Jesus. Number two, one of his purposes in our lives is to make Jesus known and real to us. Says to make Jesus known and real to us. Were you there when they gave birth to Jesus? Were you there when they crucified him? Why don't you think all of this is a scam? But you see, there is a knowing in your heart. You know that you know that this Jesus, I may not have seen him. I may not have been there. But he's real. He's more real than the sound of my voice. The one who does that, who makes that reality so sure in your life, is the Holy Ghost. Says the Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Spirit. We cannot know Jesus without him. Ephesians 1:17-18. Very quickly. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In what? In the knowledge of him. You know, that's the operation of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. To reveal Jesus. It says to reveal Jesus. Number 18. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. He lets us know what is available to us. He's the one who makes us know that heaven is real. Even without the people coming back to tell, you know, hellfire and heaven story, you know by the Spirit that there's an afterlife, that there's eternity, that there's judgment. It is the Holy Spirit that does that work. Hallelujah. 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 So he makes Jesus real to us. Number three, one of his purposes in our life is to make us become more and more like Jesus. That is the end of all of this thing, is to become like Jesus. That we grow to his stature. Hallelujah. The measure of that, the fullness of the stature of Christ. He's the one that makes us. And how does he do that? The sanctifying work. Say sanctifying work. That work sanctify is the word purify, consecrate, to make holy. And to make holy is to separate from. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Very quickly, 1 Corinthians 6:11. I have to round up so that we get the Father's blessing. I may have to skip a few things. And such were some of you, but ye are what? Washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord. How? And by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's go to Galatians 5:22. If you have the Amplified, you will see that his work in us. Remember the text that we read, John 14. It says, when he comes, he shall be what? With you. Say with you. And shall be in you. Now, he's with you to guide you, to strengthen you, you know, to support you, to lead you. But it's in you to purify, to sanctify. All right. To make you more and more like Jesus. Let's read together. Galatians 5:22. One, two, go. But the fruit of the Spirit, in bracket, the result of his presence, where? Within. Say within. Say within. Remember, he's with us, right? When he's with you to strengthen, to guide. In you is to sanctify. And what does the presence in you result to? Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. In bracket, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to, not but how we act while we wait. Kindness, goodness, and faith. But you see, many times people focus on the Holy Spirit upon. And Apostle shared this a lot during conference. The power dimension. We'll get there because he comes upon us to do. But he is in us to be. Say he's upon us to do. But he's in us to become. Yes. That voice that says to you, man of God, you are not on your way. That feeling is this sanctifying work. And this is how it works. Every time you yield, you make progress. Every time he says, call that person, apologize. And you apologize, you make progress. You make progress. You make progress. And you make progress to a point where it becomes second nature to live right. Titus 2:11, it says, the grace that brought what? Salvation. It teaches us to deny what? Ungodliness and worldly lust. So that's how he teaches you. He witnesses to your heart through the ministry of the word. That thing you are watching, is it godly? When you shut it down, you make progress. Now, if you don't shut it down, you resist him and you grieve him. Every time you resist him, you quench him, you grieve him. Let me read a scripture for you in Isaiah. Isaiah, are you being blessed? Isaiah 63 verse 10. Isaiah 63 verse 10. Every time we don't respond to him, we grieve him and he withdraws. He doesn't leave because Jesus says he'll be with you what? Always. But he's there as though he's not there. Sometimes my wife will tell me, babe, we're in this house like flatmates. How many men have heard that before? You are getting busy. You know, you just get busy. And then all of a sudden, you just sense the temperature change. She has not said anything, but you feel a heaviness. How are you? I'm fine. Are you going out? No. They'll just give you that. No. What did I do now? Nothing. You have quenched the helper. You were watching football too much, shouting goal, goal. You were quenching the helper. Amen. Let's read Isaiah 63:10 quickly. Are you being blessed? But they did what? Rebelled and vexed what? His Holy Spirit. Therefore, he did what? He turned to their enemy and he fought against them. Somebody say, wow. So, if you are the type, you are a champion, you are sleeping around, and you are not feeling it. Is that he turned long time ago. But there's restoration for someone here this morning. There's restoration for someone here. Hallelujah. So he wants to make us more and more like Jesus. Say, make me more like Jesus. He's also here. One of his purposes is to help you. He's the helper. He's a helper. That word comforter means helper. The Greek is paraclete. The one, it means the one who is an intercessor. It means consoler. How many of you have suffered like loss before? Pain. Somebody shared a testimony here of betrayal. And when you are going through that, you are wondering, would I ever overcome this? And suddenly he breathes you a word. And you are like, how did I go through that? That's the consoling work of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said, I cannot leave you. In this world, we need the helper. We need him. It's a crazy world. So he consoles. Another word for the helper is an advocate. He speaks for you. He speaks for you. He intercedes for you. He prays through us, for us, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Romans 8:26. We are limited in our prayer language, in your understanding. But when you pray in tongues by the Spirit, you cover, You cover things you may never know. You cover things. You enlarge the scope of your prayer. And today, if someone doesn't yet pray in that language, you receive it. Oh, because you need it for life. The Bible says, building up your most holy faith. Amplify, it says, building yourself like an edifice from one level to the other. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Another purpose, he comes to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. John 16:8. The work of regeneration. The day you gave your life to Christ. That day that you decided, you know what? No more to Satan. He's the one who convicted you. You cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit. No man can come to the Father except he draws him. Amen. He's the one that was involved in your salvation. He made what the preacher was saying a reality. He opened your eyes to your need for Jesus. Someone's eyes have been opened. I'll share with you a testimony. Let me quote the person. Somebody was praying for a lady who was cohabiting for 2 years with a neighbor to leave. He kept praying, but she wasn't listening. And then she came here to church and was speaking about the covenant that day. Remember? We're speaking about the covenant. And I'm sure the Holy Spirit took those words. The Bible says, how forcible are right words. And when she left that day, she came for the altar call. And when she went back, she packed her bag and left. Something she couldn't do in 2 years. The Holy Spirit came through the ministry of the word and delivered her. Somebody's being delivered right now. While I was ministering, I heard a name. While I was praying this morning, I heard a name. Jesu told me. If you are Jesu told me, before I finish, come forward. Let me pray for you. Jesu told me. I want to pray for you. I want to lay my hands to pray for you. Amen. Amen. There's still a lot to share, but let me round off and stop. Let me give you. I have his names. You can write this down. He is first the Holy Spirit. Say Holy Spirit. Yeah. He's Holy Spirit. Yes. And the Bible says that his body is your temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19. He is first holy. His title is Holy Spirit. And he is God. He's also God. The Bible says, and the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. 1 Corinthians, I believe. Verse 3 and 17. Sorry. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17. He's the Spirit of Revelation. Ephesians 1:17. He's the Eternal Spirit. Hebrews 9:14. He's the Spirit of Wisdom. Isaiah 11:2. Ephesians 1:17. Please write them down. He's the Spirit of Counsel. Isaiah 11:2. He's the Spirit of Might. Isaiah 11:2 as well. Now, why is it good to know him by his names? Remember I said he's a lover. You know, and one of the things you do in a relationship is you call people by names, right? Yes. Learn, as you see when I'm closing, how to interact with him, to call him by his names. He's the Spirit of Holiness. Romans 1:4. He's the Spirit of Adoption. Romans 8:15. He's the Spirit of Life. Romans 8:2. He's the Spirit of Christ. Romans 8:9. He's the Spirit of Grace. Zechariah 12:10. He's the Spirit of Truth. John 14:17. That's the dimension of the Holy Spirit that ensures that you don't walk in error. Where you are listening to a sermon and something goes off and there's an alarm. That's the Spirit of Truth saying, no, put on your filter. He's the Spirit of Truth. Say, he's the Spirit of Truth. He's the Spirit of Burning. That's the part of the Holy Spirit that purifies. He comes and burns the chaff. Hallelujah. He's also the Spirit of Judgment. He's the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. He impacts upon you that awareness that God is real and he can deal with bad behavior. Yes, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me close. I was going to share about his ministry in us, his guidance, his truth. I'll share that next time. But how do we facilitate our relationship with him? 2 Corinthians 13, 14. I'll just list four things and we'll pray. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. And if you are here, I'm going to tell the ministers shortly after Pastor blesses us to lay hands on anyone who's here to encounter the Holy Spirit. Anyone here, he's going to rest on you like rain. Ruach Elohim. Ruach Elohim. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. He's here already. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see? Distinct personality, Jesus Christ. The love of God, another personality. And then the communion of the Holy Ghost. You see those three distinct personalities. The grace and truth came by who? Jesus Christ. The love of God. For God so what? Loved the world. Behold what manner of love, what? The Father. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, he says the communion. That word communion is where you get the word koinonia. That's what it means. You know koinonia by now. Apostle Joshua Selman's ministry name. The koinonia. But that word koinonia means some very important things. And we can draw insight from that name to know how to relate with the Holy Spirit. Number one. So how do we fellowship with the Holy Spirit? How do we make his presence in us so real? I mean, he's so real. This is the best part of the sermon. Number one, write this down. Develop and grow your consciousness of him. Develop and grow your consciousness of him. Now, if you understand a woman, you understand the Holy Spirit. It's true. A helper. I'll make you what? A helpmeet. He's called a helper. Do you know that most times the mistakes of men is not because they are wicked. It's not because it's just that we are busy making money. We are, you know, let's do that. But sometimes it's just that deliberate consciousness that there's a woman in this house. Hello, baby. How are you doing? Just be conscious. Just give me attention. Because sometimes when I get in my elements to record, I'm another man. Oh yes, when I'm in my creative mode, sometimes my wife would talk to me like this. I'm looking at her, but I'm... She said, honey? I said, yes, baby. Do you understand? So, just that consciousness, making a deliberate attempt, that's why we have the Good Morning Holy Spirit. So that, you know, he's real to us. To know. And guess what? The things you've heard would help with the consciousness. To be intentional with him. To know that there's someone living inside of you. It's not a thing. And when you grow that consciousness, koinonia also means the communication of the Holy Spirit. Say communication. That's prayer in the Spirit. That's praying the Spirit. Now, praying without ceasing could never have been possible without the instrumentality of praying in tongues. Because if we pray without ceasing and follow that instruction verbatim, we'll violate another principle that says we ought to walk. If prayer were just kneel down, raise your hands and pray and shut down, you won't be able to walk, right? So there must be something else that prayer means. That continuous communication in the Spirit. That communication also means developing a rapport with him. Good morning, Holy Spirit. What should I wear, Holy Spirit? What do you think about this clothes? Bringing him in every detail of your life. You're about to watch a movie and you're feeling funny. That's him saying, don't watch this. Don't watch this. Somebody is telling you something very nice. What they are saying is great business idea, But you feel this, what I call holy constipation. That's him saying, don't invest, be careful. Wait, sleep over it. Hallelujah. The rapport. Develop a habit of conversing with him. Holy Spirit, it was a good day. Holy Spirit, that man annoyed me. Help me. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me. Help this lost. Help me. Help me. Somebody say the communication of the Holy Spirit. Number three, it means the partnership of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Involve him in your decision making. Proverbs 3 verse 5. Trust in the Lord what? With all your heart. And lean not on what? In how many of your ways? In how many of your ways? Holy Spirit, should I japa or not? Yes, Holy Spirit, everybody is going to Canada, but is Canada for me? Everybody is going to event management, but is event management for me? Yes, the place to make the money now is ICT, but is that for me? You heard the testimony of that sister. Is that my place? Holy Spirit, this brother is my spec. Look at the car. Look at the beards. Look at the senator. Is it the shoe? And look at the height. But Holy Spirit, I won't lie to you, I like him. But do you like him for me? Tell me, say partnership. The partnership of the Holy Spirit. And then it also means participation. Participation. Let me explain the difference. Do you know that you can partner with him? You can partner with him to make a decision. For example, who should I marry? Holy Spirit. I told you my story. When it was time, I went to camp. I looked around my friends. Circle. I had 15 sisters who were very good. They loved God. I went to camp. I said, Holy Spirit, it's either one or none of this. I said, well, Holy Spirit, number 3 and 4, they are fine. They are doing well. And we flow very well. However, you are the spirit of truth, knowledge. You know what I don't know. I think I know what I want, but I really don't even know myself, how much more what I want. So choose for me. I prayed in the spirit. I woke up knowing it was none of the people on that list. They were good people. Stop making good decisions. Make God decisions. Because in God decision, there is good. So you can partner with him. He helped me to know. But sometimes you may partner with him to start a business, but you take him out in the participation process, in the running process. So he said to you, quite all right, start the business, but then you are running it without him. You are giving, they are saying to you, if you pay this bribe, you will get this contract. Then you keep him aside. He wants to be involved in the process. He partnered with you in knowing who to marry, but you've taken him out of the courtship. You are doing things you ought not to do. This morning, he wants to be involved in everything. He wants to be involved. Can we shut our eyes? Now, the Holy Spirit is for God's children. Luke 11 verse 3. Let's read that. And then I'll make a call and we'll pray. Luke 11 verse 13. I beg your pardon. If you have his language, just begin to just speak it underneath your breath. He's here. Luke 11 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give what? Good gifts. Unto your children, how much more shall your Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? The Holy Spirit is for God's children. It's for his children. If you are here and you are not born again, you don't qualify. Acts 3 verse 19, Peter speaking says, repent and be converted. Put Acts 3 verse 19. Repent and therefore be converted, and your sins may be blotted out. Then times of refreshing shall come from the Lord. Every eye closed. If you are here, you are not born again. You don't have the Holy Spirit residing in you. But the difference between that status quo is just a decision. Jesus came and died. He took upon his body your sin, so that if you believe in him and confess, you will be saved. If you are here, you want to give your life to Jesus, and you want this Holy Ghost that I've been talking about, our roadmap in life, our guide, our leader, our strengthener, our comforter, our consoler. How can you go through life without a man like this? If you are here, you are not born again. Raise your hands. Quickly, raise your hands. Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Remember I said he's the one. If you hear a voice saying don't, that's the devil. The voice telling you raise your hand is the Holy Spirit I just spoke about. Wave it. God bless you. Wave it. Come on. It means you just heard the Holy Spirit. If you raise your hand, it means you could hear his voice now. He just convicted you of sin. Wave it like you are saying bye-bye to sin. Bye-bye to darkness. Now, wherever you are, take your belongings, your phone, your Bible, and I want you to run out now. Quick, quick, come to Jesus. Once you do that, he comes into you. The rest of us pray in tongues. Come on, I feel him like rain now. He's coming on someone like rain. New tongues. He's going to come like rain. He'll come like fire. Run, come. Take your belongings. Keep their seats. Makata bashanteleme. Reba, come on, choir. Let's go. Let's walk this. Rakabaya, come to Jesus. Don't be ashamed. If a voice says no, that's the devil. The one saying come is the Holy Spirit. Come, he's the one speaking to you right now. He's the one touching your heart. He just revealed Jesus to you. Come quickly. There are people still sitting down. Remember that scripture I read in Isaiah? When they resisted him, he turned and became their enemy. When they, resisted his call, you don't want him to be your enemy today. Don't harden your heart. Come to Jesus. Don't be ashamed. Keep clapping as they come. Keep clapping. One more call. There's one more person I'm waiting for. Yes, come. Come to Jesus. Yes, it's okay to cry, my dear sister. He's the one moving upon your heart. He's doing a work of regeneration. The rest of us, can we stand and pray in tongues?